Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The best of 2022. Let's give out the awards. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. And it's been a long 2022 season, a year of big pod energy and even bigger hats on the show. And we've got one show left to talk about 2022. It's the awards. We're going to give out some awards. We're going to look to 2023, talk about maybe some New Year's resolution. But this is not your normal award show. No. It's Fantasy MVP. It's Fantasy Bust. That's boring. So instead, what I've done today is taken what's trended, what happened in 2022, turn them into categories, and we are going to turn them into fantasy discussion points. So once again, I just want to thank all of you for being with us all year, whether you won your championship, whether you made the playoffs, whether you just enjoyed the show and had a good time. We're grateful for you. And we're very happy that you joined us for this ride that was 2022, because it was a fun one. It was a great year. I know Pat Fitzmaurice, who's joining me on the program here today, Derek Brown joining us here on the program today. It's been so much fun to work with you guys all season long. I feel like our fans here of the show have really not only had success, but had a good time. And at the end of the day, that's what this is. It's a community that loves football and loves good times. And the fact that you're wearing the black hat today on the YouTube channel, D-Bro, is that just because your head is cold, or are you just blah about 2022? I want to know what we're really getting here in terms of your signals you're sending us.
Part of it is my head is cold, and the other is I'm still reeling from Mike Evans burying a lot of my teams in week 17. So, you know, it's a mixed bag, Joe.
It's a mixed bag. But, you know, Pat, looking back on 2022, it would certainly, I would say, a season that you really started to see more and more of these young, talented wide receivers, this trend we've seen the last couple of years continue to take hold. And you are the host, along with Scott Bogman, of the Dynasty Podcast. And I keep telling everybody, they're like, oh, well, the podcast goes away in January. It's like, no. That's when the Dynasty Pod starts up. And what's so important is you guys all need to know about these young players if you don't watch college football like some of us do here, and what kind of impact they're going to make. So, Pat, I feel like that service in January when you guys start kicking things off again is going to be so important, because that is where the game is going. And those people who had those players on their teams this year, whether you know, be the Chris Olaves of the world, or Garrett Wilson's of the world, et cetera, or Christian Watson as well, they've really changed how we draft in fantasy football. And also the impact is just so immediate. It's really changed the game completely.
Yeah, it really has, Joe. And I'm going to talk more about this a little later, too. Ooh. But you and I remember a day, like, since we're old men, like back when we started playing fantasy football, like drafting rookie receivers was considered just like a rookie mistake. It just like getting hyped up about the rookie receivers, big mistake back in the 90s, you know, when we started playing. But now, yeah, I mean, these guys come in and hit the ground running, and like, you have to invest in these guys.
The 90s were a simpler time. I had a full head of hair then. It's glorious. Let me tell you.
Same. Good.
Say, yeah. Pat still's got hair, though. Good for him. Although, maybe, yeah, I don't know. What's under that hat? Now, I got to take your hat off. It's going to be
fine. No, don't do that to him, man.
My wife just gave me a haircut, so a lot less hair than I had yesterday.
I've had a haircut since 2005. True story. All right, let's get to the first award we're giving out for 2022. And this one is called the Fantasy Avatar. And it's not because it's somebody you're putting on your Twitter. It's actually going to be the player who did not live up to the potential in the sequel. Somebody who had a good year last year, but 2022 didn't necessarily repeat that. I think that's kind of what we're going for. I know Avatar didn't quite do the box office James Cameron was hoping. I mean, you know, how many times can we watch these people, you know, underwater blue people swim around and do stuff? I don't know. I liked the Smurfs when I was a kid. I was a big fan of that. I don't know about this Avatar stuff. But Fantasy Avatar, let's start with you, Patrick Morris. Who was the player that did not deliver the hype in the sequel in 2022?
So I know this nomination is going to be seconded by a lot of our listeners and viewers, because I know that every time we tweet out from our Twitter account, like, a question to the effect of who really let you down this season? Who was your biggest disappointment? We always get a ton of Kyle Pitts responses. And I mean, after he was the first tight end in 50 years, the first tight end since Mike Ditka to have 1,000 receiving yards as a rookie, I could not have imagined the steadfast refusal of Arthur Smith to try to get Kyle Pitts more involved in the offense. And I realized the Falcons did not have a great quarterback situation, but man, you took this guy fourth overall. He is 6'6" with sub 4.5 speed. This guy is an absolute unicorn. Please get him the ball. Please get him involved in the offense. And just week after week, game after game, just, you know, such disappointing numbers. So I think he let a lot of people down. A lot of people thought he was Travis Kelce in waiting, and it was not to be this year.
I still think he is. I'm not giving up. I'm going to transfer blame, and I'm going to put it on Marcus Mariota and some other people too. But look, it was disappointing. There's no way around that. And he was the guy on the board who theoretically was the best value. Mark Andrews ended up being a huge disappointment too. But everybody consensus thought, wow, Pitts is kind of the fourth guy most of the time. What a great value getting him. He could be just as good as those guys. It was not meant to be in 2022. But I am buying everywhere I can in keeper and dynasty leagues on Kyle Pitts for beyond. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that right now. I am hoping for a rebound. So hopefully the third movie will be better, not like Godfather 3, which was not good. Speaking of The Godfather, someone who hasn't watched The Godfather still, Derek Brown, that clock is ticking, by the way. D-Bro, who is your fantasy avatar, the player that did not live up to the sequel of 2022?
Godfather 1, 2, 3, if there's
Godfather
a 4,
1
5,
and 2
or 6,
are magical.
I don't know. They're all the same to me because I've seen nothing.
You don't have to watch the third one. I'm going to let you off the hook there.
Really? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's catch up. Let's catch up time. Speaking of not catching up to previous assumptions and production, Najee Harris, man. Look, I get that he closed the season really well. Like, if you look at, you know, season rankings and where he's going to finish, he's going to be a top 20 running back in fantasy points per game. But if you had Najee on your team, especially if you were doing early drafts and you took him in the late first round, maybe he fell to the top of the second. You were like, bell cow, second round, let's go. And then you had Najee Harris on your team and you said, oh, where are we going? It's definitely not to wins and W's and fantasy points, because it was not happening. Najee through the first 13 weeks of the season, first 12 games, 67% of his games, he finished as an RB3 or lower. He was the RB25 in fantasy points per game. He was outside the top 35 in PFF elusive rating, yards after contact per attempt. I mean, he just simply was bad. And by the time he actually turned it on, he started scoring fantasy points, and he was the top 20 running back, top 15 running back that you needed, your team was probably cooked. So it didn't really matter at that point. So as much as we were all buying into the volume, it did not come to fruition. We could say that about a lot of different Steelers this year. Volume was there. They just didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, absolutely. My guy is Jonathan Taylor. He's my fantasy avatar. Talk about a season last year. Can we just pause for a moment and remember what happened in 2021? 332 rushes for 1,800 yards on the ground, 40 catches, 20 touchdowns. What a year. Jonathan Taylor's 2022, not quite the same. Now, obviously, injuries had a lot to do with that, and it's a good lesson, too. I think the one lesson I can learn, I'm going to save this maybe as my second fantasy resolution, is guys, when they get ankle injuries, you might want to just trade him away. It's just not going to get better anytime soon. I don't care where the ankle, high, low, middle. I don't care where the ankle sprain is. It's not going to be good. And unfortunately, he was not there for the playoffs either. Jonathan Taylor had two finishes in the top five, just two. And one of them was week one. So that's kind of the worst thing. You had this false sense of security. Then all of a sudden, we're right back to it. Let's go. Jonathan Taylor, the sequel is going to be awesome. It's like that amazing sequel. Everybody's coming back, and it's amazing. That first sequel, it's really cool, right? Kind of like John Wick in that sense, too. John Wick 2 is like that. John Wick 2 is amazing in the beginning. And then next thing you know, this whole side thing with Lawrence Fishburne's character, all of a sudden, like, what's going on? It all just fell apart in the end for Jonathan Taylor. But a great start, not so much a great finish for Jonathan Taylor. So he is my fantasy avatar, the player that did not deliver in the sequel in 2022. Now, all of you have delivered all year long. And I just want to remind everybody out there listening to the pod, watching on the YouTube channel, again, we appreciate you so much. We thank you for being with us all year long. And if you did enjoy the show this year, it's a great time to go drop a five-star review wherever you get your pods. Go to Apple Podcasts. Doesn't matter. Drop a five-star review. We appreciate it. It does a lot for the show, more than you realize. And it's a nice thing to do. Start off the new year right. Do something nice. And continue to join us here, because we got a lot of content still to go in football. We got draft coverage coming. We got the Fantasy Dynasty podcast coming. We got so many fun things. Football's not going away. It's just slowing down a little bit, which is good. Everybody could use a break. Let's go to the second award. It's the Fantasy Ticketmaster. That's right. The player you are waiting on the longest that just didn't happen. You're just waiting in the queue. 2,000 people are ahead of you, like they were for me with Taylor Swift tickets for my daughters. If you were watching this year live on the show, you also witnessed that moment where Andrew Erickson took over for the show, because I actually finally did. The queue resumed and I was in it, and I knew it was going to resume right in the middle of the live stream. And what do you know? It did. Purchased the Taylor Swift tickets, somehow got the tickets, came back on the show. So shout out to Andrew Erickson. But let's talk about the Fantasy Ticketmaster. Who are the players that you waited on the longest that either did or did not hit? D-Bro, let's start with you on this one.
Okay, well, I mean, I've got to start with the low-hanging fruit here. I got to start with the guy that is the reason that I came on a show and had pink facial hair. Because I do. I pay up on my bets, people.
You did. And it wasn't the greatest pink, but you tried real hard.
You know, I tried really hard, Joe. Yeah. There is actual evidence out there where I bought three different types of dye, and we tried every one of them. And it's not my fault that it didn't come out pink and it came out more looking
what we do.
I looked like a beet. Okay.
So just, what? You're still a rock star. See what I did there? The pink song.
I like that. Yeah. It's very nice. Well done. Professional transition.
Poor Pat. He's not used to being in between us. Let's go.
But the guy that really let me down and was the cause of my pink beard is Sky Moore. And this has nothing to do so much with his talent, but the fact that Andy Reid just never played the kid. He never saw 50% snaps in any game. And despite the fact that he was sixth in yak per reception and showed flashes of talent, didn't matter, Mr. Reid. It did not matter to him at all. So we kept punching the lottery ticket and saying, all right, if he gets the full-time role, let's go. He's not getting the full-time role. He's still not getting the full-time role.
No. Ugh. And then when they acquired Kadarius Toney, that was kind of the worst. That was just like, oh no, that
nail in the coffin.
Not that he really did stuff, but like that's also not a good look. But yeah, Sky Moore was I was very high on Sky Moore. I still am. I'm still hopeful. I'm less hopeful going into next year. We shall see. But did you hold on to anybody long enough and keep the faith where it actually paid off, where you stayed in queue and he actually got the tickets?
I did. Unlike some salty Packers fans, which may or not be present on this podcast, I did hold on to Christian Watson, because that man is a dude. Okay. He has the talent and he showed us weeks 10 through 15. He was the wide receiver 3 in fantasy points per game. He was 16th in open rate this year, right behind Jamar Chase and Garrett Wilson. So when he was healthy, when he was on the field and Aaron Rodgers wasn't throwing pissy fits about everything, Christian Watson was awesome. So I cannot wait. And he is a player that if you don't have him in Dynasty right now, you need to be trying to get him. I am so enamored with what he's going to do in the second year. And this is regardless of, whatever Rodgers does, doesn't, like him in a full-time role next year coming up all season. Let's go.
All right. Pat, let's talk about your guys, your fantasy ticket master guys, the guys you waited, and nothing happened, and the guys you waited on, and you actually got paid.
Yeah, first of all, Joe, your Father of the Year award is in the mail for that Taylor Swift ticket thing.
Yes. Tell you.
Putting your job at risk to get those
putting
tickets.
Putting my job at risk. Well, you got to think about that. Like, I don't know how I would look anybody in the eye if, I mean, Taylor Swift comes to New Jersey and we're not there. That's a problem. And you know what, Pat? It was one of the most nerve-wracking, terrifying experience. I'm trying to click on the little circles for the seats. And every time I click on a circle for a seat, it was like whack-a-mole. They would disappear. It was terrifying. I mean, honestly, I like my hands still shaking. It's very tense.
If he had come up with those tickets, it'd been something like very Jingle All the Way esque. Like, you would have seen Joe like going out trying to harass people, like on the internet looking for tickets. Like, do I sell you a kidney? Like,
oh yeah,
how do I get a ticket? Multiple tickets.
Yeah, I'd be like, where's your Taylor Swift tickets? Where are they? I need them now. I need them all. The Taylor Swift. I don't care if they're in the bleachers. I don't care where they are. I need them. I need all the Taylor Swift.
All right, so you teased my first guy, Joe, with Kadarius Toney. It's him. Like, he was.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've just been, you know, smitten since he had that little two-game mini breakout last year where we just saw that quick twitch athleticism and just explosiveness and the danger he poses with the ball in his hands. I was really excited to see that in a Brian Daboll offense. He and Daboll just never saw eye to eye. And, you know, the injury problems continued with Kadarius Toney. Then he gets traded to the Chiefs. And immediately, like, everyone wants to get their hands on this guy, because by that time he was on every waiver wire in every league in America. And then just, you know, even though he was there for 6 weeks, never really got above about a, 33% snap share or so. And like, he still has these moments where he, you know, makes plays, scores touchdowns. In week 17, there were four catches for 71 yards. But man, like, I just don't know if it's ever going to happen with him. The injury problems, the disagreement with Daboll, it's kind of always something with this guy. So he didn't pan out. The guy who did pan out, and D-Bro is going to like this one because I know he was probably a runner-up for D-Bro, Cam Akers. I mean, we were both in on him in the offseason. And, you know, just for me, it was the fact that they immediately handed him the keys to their backfield last year in the most important games of the season. Like, he comes back in week 16 or 17, I think 17. They give him a little bit of a trial run, and then they're like, here, the backfield is yours for the playoffs. And runs into a bunch of really good defenses, doesn't get it done. But yeah, like, he was operating in that workhorse role, and he's got the three down skill set. I thought we were going to see that all year. We're seeing it in December. If you would have just dropped me into December, I would have been like, yeah, this is exactly what I was expecting for Cam Akers. We would have skipped past the season opener where he had three carries for 0 yards and played behind Daryl Henderson. We would have skipped past midseason where he was barely playing. So, yeah, there was a lot of suffering, and I think probably anyone who drafted him dropped him at some points.
No, he might have been, and I'd love to see the numbers on this. I want to see the guys who are most dropped and added back and forth over the season. I imagine he is probably in top five. He has to
absolutely
be. And to your credit, Pat, going back to July and August, you were one of the few analysts that I talked to anywhere, whether guests or here in-house, that was making a case for Cam Akers at his ADP, at what was going on. So, you know, if you stuck with him and you somehow, or you dropped him and you re-added him as the tide turned there in that backfield, you were absolutely rewarded. He had a wonderful finish to the season for sure.
Six touchdowns in his last five games. So
unbelievable.
From week 13 on, that man was the RB6 in fantasy. Oof, you'd love to see it.
You really do. Magic of Baker Mayfield. That's what it's all about, really, at the end of the day. Let's get to the guys that I was waiting on in that Ticketmaster line. Oh, Rashad Bateman. You know, I was really hopeful this year. I thought it would all come together. Instead, he finishes receiver 105. Again, first 2 weeks, two touchdowns. Things started off really well. You know, you look at something like Jonathan Taylor, Rashad Bateman, you're like, okay, we're right. Let's go. It's going to be a great season. And then the wheels just fell off, not only for Rashad Bateman, but for this whole Baltimore Ravens offense. Things just completely collapsed there. So definitely a tough scenario for Rashad Bateman, and a player that now we're going to that third year. He's been hurt the first two. I can't imagine what his draft value is going to be next year. I can't imagine, you know, depending on the circumstances with or without Lamar Jackson, what that offense is. but I might have to let him go. I might have to just kind of stand back and say, all right, somebody else has to make that decision. I don't know if I'm ready to waste a draft pick on him to see. Love the talent. I like the situation, but it's unfortunate. You just can't stay on the field right now. And we've seen guys turn that around before in the NFL and Major League Baseball. They start off their careers with lots of injuries, and then all of a sudden they become great players and they stay healthy. It's just a real tough investment going forward. Now, one guy did make an investment in a lot of places, and I did hold on to longer than I should have, to the point where I almost kind of felt like, oh, this is going to burn me. I'm going to be this person, was Isaiah Pacheco. Now, maybe it's because he's a Rutgers guy and, you know, just local watching him play a little bit. I thought he had a great combine. I really liked the kid. He seemed like a really good kid too. And I know that Andy Reid's looking for somebody. I knew that somebody was not Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, Jerick McKinnon certainly had his moments there, but Pacheco was kind of that presence in the backfield, became a steady Eddie for them. You see the speed. He also runs hard for a smaller guy too. He's not afraid of contact. He's a tough kid. He was a guy that you could plug in at RB2 as a flex guy and, you know, became a pretty solid fantasy producer. So that was somebody I was in on from the beginning, held on, kept the faith, and was rewarded for all those holds. In fact, I had to start him in that CBS final, and I had to start him and Jerick McKinnon in that final because Tony Pollard was out and I had nobody else that I could possibly start, and it ended up working out. He got the touchdown all as well. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about DFS Mafia. Check out DFS Mafia's fantasy sports platform. They are a newly launched DFS site with prop bet style contests and are looking to change the game with their integration of cryptocurrency into the fantasy sports industry. They will soon have their own crypto token built in as a method of payment and prize payouts. This is your opportunity to take advantage of getting in early on a new DFS platform. Other cool features they have are public chat rooms, and you can create your own contest options every night. They give out prizes to active users and are even running contests currently where users can win tickets to the big game in Arizona in February. Innovation is everything these days, so go check them out at player.dfs-mafia.com. That's player.dfs-mafia.com. And use that promo code PROS for $10 in free play upon sign up at player.dfs-mafia.com. And now, back to the action. Let's go to the next award here on the slate, gentlemen. And this one is a fun TikTok trend that was trending in 2022. It's something that I'm hoping we get to do together in a couple months. I'm fighting for this as one of our group activities at the Fantasy Pros meetings. The tortilla slapping. Yes, slapping each other in the face with massive tortillas seems like a good time to me. I think it's fun. I want to do it. Pat Fitzmaurice, was there a player, though, that slapped you in the face this year as hard as he could with a tortilla for whatever reason? Whether you thought they were going to be good, they turned out not to be. Whether you started them on the wrong week every time. Was there somebody that just felt like a one giant burrito slap to the face?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it was Elijah Moore, who just kind of never fired. And yeah, I mean, I was just dazzled by his 6-week stretch last season from week 8 to week 13, I think it was, where he was the wide receiver 2 in half point fantasy scoring over that stretch behind only Justin Jefferson. And I figured some people were maybe going to be cool on him this year just because, number one, the stretch was over a relatively short period of time last season. And number two, they were going to be scared off by the Jets quarterback issues, which maybe was pretty prudent to be a little concerned about Zach Wilson. But it wasn't just Zach Wilson. I mean, I think it was part of it was that Garrett Wilson was so good. Mm-hmm. And that Zach Wilson also seems to like throwing to Corey Davis a lot, at least whenever he's healthy. So, yeah, it just never worked out for Elijah Moore. And now I think he's going to be kind of a tough player to assess for 2023. Like, there's some good stuff here, but does this guy have the potential to be like a top 20 receiver? I'm not sure about that yet.
That's a fair assessment, too. And I think Garrett Wilson, we'd agree, is the bigger talent of the two. But I think with better quarterback play, Moore can become a steady guy in fantasy. Maybe the T. Higgins to the Jamar Chase, not that, you know, necessarily Garrett Wilson is Jamar Chase, but the number two guy, but still a guy you could feel good about starting every week. They just got to get more consistent quarterback play there in New York. D-Bro, who slapped you in the face as hard as they could with a tortilla, not named Joe Pizzapia yet.
Well,
it's coming in March.
Yeah, oh, you better watch out. You're going to get some other type of finger injury if you don't watch it from tortilla slapping
nope,
somebody.
No, I'm going to be fine, baby. You're going to be fine.
It's okay. When you pull up lame and you say, I can't play the flag football game.
I got a whole stack of old Tasso with your name on it here, buddy.
That's okay. I got a juke move waiting for you, brother. Just waiting for you, okay? Me and my two ankle braces are going to juke you out of your shoes. All right. Anyway, speaking of juked out of her shoes, this was a Derrickson-approved player, and I know Pat is going to grin ear to ear when he hears
this one.
He
sure is. He already is.
After I gave him the crap about the Packers guy and being salty, now I've just got to sit here and take it. Courtland Sutton, I'm going to throw this one out there. Andrew and I were extremely high on him this year, and it came down to opportunity. And look, he was 10th in open rate, tied with Jerry Jeudy, so it's not the talent went anywhere. It's just this offense was terrible. It cratered. And you could talk about injuries. I don't understand what happened with Courtland Sutton. Like, after week five, like, did he park in Russell's parking spot? Was he waiting? Did he steal the keys to the office? Like, after week five, the dude got two. You can count them on one hand. One, two red zone targets. That's it. He was, like, sewed into this, like, perpetual 6 for 60, 7 for 50. Here's your 11 to 12 points, and you're going to hate life. That's all Courtland Sutton was for the rest of the year, and it was really sad to see. I can't tell you that he's going to bounce back, but I'm definitely feeling the pain. My ears are ringing from the tortilla slaps.
Yeah, I'll say this too. Another lesson, another 2023 resolution, because there's going to be a lot of new quarterbacks in new places next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Derek Carr probably. Certainly, we're going to have a new quarterback in Indianapolis, one would imagine. We're going to have some new quarterbacks in lots of places. I don't think we should get as excited, maybe, as we all got for. And we all did. I think the football world collectively got excited about Russell Wilson going to Denver. Yep. Hackett seemed like a good idea on paper. He was going to have all these wide receivers with lots of talent to throw the football to. Not that DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett weren't talented, but in a system where you think they're going to throw the football a lot, it didn't work out. It did not work out, and maybe it should be a reminder to us next year to be just a little bit more cautious as we look for these new quarterback, new head coach, new OC, new situation, new people, because it takes a lot for all that to gel, and it doesn't always happen right away. That's something that we have to remember.
And by the way, D-Bro, I'm saving all my Courtland Sutton ridicule for Erickson when I'm eating the pizza that he buys Joe and I for
that's
our
right.
Courtland Sutton bet.
That's right.
We made a head-to-head bet.
Works on it, baby.
More fantasy points, Courtland Sutton or DK Metcalf. And Erickson accepted that wager when I proposed it.
Yeah, we got the receipts on that. That's another hey. March is going to be great.
We pay up on our bets around here at Fantasy
gonna
Bros.
It's going to be taco night followed by pizza night, baby. Let's go. For me, the tortilla slap was absolutely 100% A.J. Dillon, a player that I talked about all offseason. I loved A.J. Dillon. He ended up finishing in half PPR as RB26, not where I thought he would finish as RB14 or 13, somewhere up there. It did not work. Again, another guy that started off great. Week one was such a tease. Let me tell you, week one was the absolute best and worst at the same time because it set me up for failure for a lot of things. He had single digit points from week two all the way to week 11. Okay, single digits varying from 3 to 9. Okay, but most of the time, somewhere on like he's 5.5 points, somewhere around there. Then, just when you thought you couldn't deal with him, you dropped him, you traded him away, right? Right at the trade deadline, week 12, right? What happens? 16 points, 19 points, 21 points. He rattles off, helps you get into the playoffs. I mean, I don't know. A.J. Dillon slapped me in the face pretty hard. And you know what he did? He slapped me in the face, and I turned around, and he hit me a second time. That's really what it came down to with A.J. Dillon. But am I probably going to want to draft him again next year? Probably. Probably right back in the same spot. Will I ever learn? Speaking of learning, something in 2022 that helped a lot of people learn, a lot of new words, was Wordle. That's right. The game that everybody couldn't put down. Everybody's trying to figure out this 5-letter word, getting frustrated, throwing phones every now and then, getting it right. But let's talk about that. Who was the fantasy Wordle of 2022? The player that you just couldn't figure out no matter how hard you tried. You put him in at the wrong time. You sat him at the wrong time. Who was such an enigma to you, Pat, in 2022?
Oh, for me, I think it has to be George Pickens, a guy I really fell in love with in August and, you know, still really love. And man, like this guy makes some highlight reel plays. But like I just kept waiting for the sustained breakout to happen. And I kept putting him too high in my weekly wide receiver rankings. Mm. And, you know, it kind of burned me. I mean, he had some really I recommended him to a good friend in DFS for a lineup. at like a Christmas dinner with our wives and us. And that was right before his one catch for 2 yard game in early December. So I think what it is with Pickens is like he has these amazing ball skills. Like he is gigantic and has this big wingspan. He has the my ball mentality. He's acrobatic, just fantastic at the catch point. I don't know how good a separator he is, and I don't know if he's going to be able to improve his route running enough to draw the targets he needs to become a wide receiver one or even like a high-end mid-range wide receiver two. That's basically it. He was not getting enough targets all year, especially not when it was Mitch Trubisky at quarterback for the Steelers, because I think he's less of an anticipatory thrower than Kenny Pickett is. So it worked a little bit better with Pickett, but still, even with Pickett, his target ceiling seemed to be capped at 7 or 8 every week. And if you're going to be a wide receiver one, you got to be drawing double digit targets. And we did not see that for Pickens, I think, the entire year. I don't think he had a game where he had 10 targets.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's certainly one that, you know, you can't teach certain things Pickens does, but you hope that he puts the work in to get better at the things where there's a deficit. And you hope that Pickett makes some strides for 2023, and maybe all that comes to fruition. I mean, he's one of those guys, like, that's an important guy to show up at training camp and what he's worked on. That's a guy that next year is like, what's good enough to get you by in college might not be the same thing, but I always like the talent in college. So I'm watching him closely next year in July and August. That's a guy that I think you have to keep a close eye on and see what kind of work he's done. D-Bro, who was a player you just couldn't figure out? Who was your fantasy Wordle of 2022? You just ran out of characters.
Oh, I never knew what to do with DeAndre Swift. I don't think anybody did. Like, we were all like, he's off the injury report. All right, let's go. He plays a lot of snaps. He gets no touches. He is back on the injury report, but they said he's good to go. He said he's good to go, and he does nothing. It was frustrating, guys. It was like, it's one of those players that even like when they blow up like during the week, and how many people started him in those blow up weeks? Like it just got to the point where you're like, I can't trust you. I can't trust you. And yet I can't cut you. I can't put you on the waiver wire where somebody else picks you up and then they start you against me. And then I lose because you went off because I dropped you to the waiver wire, but I don't know what to do with you. It was absolutely mind numbing, frustrating the entire year.
Yeah, absolutely. A very frustrating DeAndre Swift. And if you played him and he had the stones to do it in that last game, paid off for you there in fantasy championship world. For me, it was Juju Smith-Schuster, a player that, you know, you look at on paper going into the season, you go, yes, this should work out. There really isn't a lot of competition. He should be a target monster. And then he did very little for the first like 6 weeks of the season or so. Then week six happened. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic. Back-to-back 100-yard games. Back-to-back wide receiver one performances. Things are going well. Then there's a bye. He comes back, has another good game. Ooh, we're going. And then he gets hurt. And he gets hurt. He misses a game. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Low snap count. Next week, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt again. Bad performance. I sit him. It's over because he's playing Denver. They're really good defense, right? I can't play him. No. 9 catches for 74 and a touchdown for 18 points. So, yeah. So Juju Smith-Schuster is definitely the guy that I could not figure out. He was a complete enigma to me all year. Next year, I still have no idea if Juju Smith is going to be better, worse, more inconsistent, less. It's frustrating. Just draft Patrick Mahomes and none of his friends. Maybe Travis Kelce is the one friend that can come over. That's it. Nobody else can come over to the party. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Rocket Money. If your New Year's goals are to manage your budget better and save money, then you need Rocket Money. Say goodbye to last year's outdated, disorganized methods of managing your money and say hello to Rocket Money right now. Formerly known as Truebill, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one amazing place. You know, over 80% of people have subscriptions they forget about. Chances are you're one of those 80%. So stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/fantasypros. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fantasypros. And now back to the action. Let's go to the next fantasy award. We're going to get out in the final one. The number one box office smash of 2022 was a sequel. It was Top Gun Maverick. So I want to ask you guys, who was the Top Gun of 2022. I know Andrew, who works us over at Fantasy Pros, got a love that we're giving out a Top Gun award this year. So he is loving this. So D-Bro, it's that time. Who is the best of the best? Whose ego was writing checks that they actually could cash?
Jalen Hurts, baby. It was Jalen Hurts season.
You were, D-Bro was Mr. Eagles offense all July, all of August. I told you a couple weeks ago, nobody talked about that like you did, and you could not have been more right.
I said he was going to be the fantasy MVP. I said he was actually going to be in the running for real life MVP. He was both of those things.
He was.
Yes, I understand he got hurt and you had to figure out other things at the quarterback position. You picked up Gardner Minshew. You're very, very happy if you're still investing in the Eagles offense. But this all comes down to Jalen Hurts was that dude. He was the QB1 in fantasy points per game. He was second in fantasy points per dropback. Top five in basically everything you look at. This guy was a top five fantasy quarterback in 71% of his games.
Wow.
That is insane to me. Like, I would love to go back and do some kind of off-season study and go back and look where that ranks amongst just that type of consistency. Like, yes, we have quarterbacks that get to like, okay, the QB1, QB2, and they have blow-up weeks. This dude was consistently never leaving the top five fantasy quarterbacks. A weekly stud, win you your week type of player that's separating you from that position. So yeah, Jalen Hurts is my man.
That's a good one. That's an absolute good one. And a steal at the ADP too, because he wasn't typically the top three quarterbacks Ridiculous. Going off the board. So it's going to happen again next year when it's Justin Fields, I'm telling you right now.
Pat, yeah.
Who is the fantasy top gun of 2022 for you?
Oh, man. So Hurts was fantastic all year, but there were other solutions at the quarterback position. At tight end, the only solution is Travis Kelce. If you don't have Travis Kelce, you're frustrated by what you're getting at the position, most likely, or at least were for large portions of the season. Mark Andrews was great, faded late. TJ Hockenson did nothing early, came on strong, but Kelce... there week after week, maybe week 17, notwithstanding when he didn't exactly deliver the Bravo performance we were hoping for. But he has been the tight end one in five of the last seven seasons in half point PPR. The 2 years he didn't finish tight end one, he was the runner up. So I believe Gronk was the tight end one of those years, Mark Andrews the other year, and both times Kelce right on their heels. The gap between Kelce and tight end two TJ Hockenson this year in total fantasy points scored in half point PPR bigger than the gap between Hockenson and the tight end 18, who was Zach Ertz, who played 10 games. I mean, the guy's value is just hard to overstate. You know, tight end is just this position every year we're trying to solve every year. We think, oh, it's going to be a deeper pool. There are more possible solutions here. There are never enough solutions. Travis Kelce is always a solution.
Yeah, he is. In terms of relative position value, too, at the tight end, well, compared to all the other tight end ones, where it takes like the average of tight end one scoring and compares it plus or minus, he is plus 88% better than the fantasy league average tight end that you're running out there. It's the biggest number I've ever seen. I just ran it right now while I was listening to you talk because I wanted to see what he was at the end of the year. I put it in, punched it in, ran the numbers on him. Plus 88. The biggest number I saw before that was 85 a couple years ago from Christian McCaffrey, where he was just such a stud compared to everybody else. And a lot of people got hurt in the RB1 category. As a tight end one, compared to the other 12 tight ends, he was 88% more productive on a weekly basis than any other tight end. Stunning number.
Wow. The thing that I think
that's why I love TV, because it gives you like you want to quantify value. That's how you do it, baby. It's Black Book 101. You can't quantify the value. And I'll tell you what, we were having these discussions already. And Ogbonna and I started talking about it. Like, where do you draft Kelce next year? And to me, I think the earlier you draft Kelce, the better off you are. And I'll tell you why. The more you wait, you know, I'm curious what you guys have to say about this. I feel like when you take Travis Kelce at 10 overall or something like that, you're getting one other really good player. But if you take him at top five or six overall, well, you're also getting two other players in the top 25-ish potentially. And I think that's a much better roster construction I always hate the late first round tight end roster construction. You just don't like the players that come back to me. Pat, what do you think about that? That early notion? You think that's way off base, or maybe I'm onto something here?
I have been a resistor to the draft Travis Kelce in the first round strategy for a long time, and I don't think I can hold out anymore. And it seems like a bad time to get on the bandwagon now that he's, you know, approaching his mid-30s.
Yeah, the guy, he's got a tortilla waiting in his pocket for us. I'm sure of it.
Probably, but man, the guy has been indestructible. For the type of game he plays, like for him to have missed as few games as he has over the years is pretty remarkable. So yeah, I'm on board with that. The only thing is, like, with my approach to roster construction, I do not want to take a luxury quarterback and a luxury tight end. I don't think you can afford to take both and still give yourself enough ammunition at running back and wide receiver. So I think then you would have to forego one of the luxury quarterbacks. And I think it's kind of more important than ever to get one of those top scoring quarterbacks. So, you know, there I'd maybe have to cut corners a little bit and take like a, see if I could get a Daniel Jones after some of the top guys have gone, or maybe, you know,
I want to see what the, when you do the perfect draft here in the offseason, when it comes back around, you have to like see how high you score. If you could have the perfect draft in 2022, I can't imagine, like, I'm fascinated to see, like, you got to have Kelce in there. Where you got to take him though. Like, you have to. I mean, there's just no other way around. It's best Kelce team wins probably. All right, for me, the fantasy Top Gun, and I know the very end was sad, but you know, that's Top Gun sometimes. Like, you just get emotional at the end. It's Justin Jefferson. I all the Justin Jefferson teams that I had made the playoffs, and two of them went to finals, and any team that I didn't have Justin Jefferson was not as good. And I understand he let you down at the worst possible time. It was a tough game there. Alexander played great against him. The footing issues he had, constantly slipping, falling on the field, couldn't get the shoes right, couldn't get anything right. Excuses, you know, just there for another time. But I have no problem taking Justin Jefferson as the 1-1 next year. He will be the 1-1 on my board again. And who knows? Maybe we'll get another Top Gun movie next year. We'll see what happens. All right. It's a new year, though. Yes, it is. 2023. New Year's resolution. D-Bro, what do you have for us in regards to your fantasy football Auld Lang Syne?
Oh, okay. So I'm going to embrace the fact that as much as we know, we still know nothing. We're still Jon Snow, okay? In the sense of, there are so many things that we get right in the season, but we get so much wrong in the sense of, like, we need to stop worrying about, like, getting our heels dug in about our preconceived notions about certain things and embrace falling value. We get so steadfast about the RB dead zone and things of that nature. It's like, how much did we learn from this season that, like, okay, we were really, really wrong about Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, Chris Godwin was awesome for most of the year. DeAndre Hopkins was that dude when he came back. Oh, look at that. The Jacksonville Jaguars didn't suck. Zay Jones is good. Evan Ingram was an elite tight end down the stretch. So I'm just going to be more liquid as much as I try to preach that in draft season, even more liquid. So when you get into these drafts and it's like, well, Josh Jacobs was staring at me in the sixth or seventh round and I was still like, no.
Josh Jacobs did not want to draft him. Carried me in Superflex Flex League. Yep. He carried me to that championship round. And I'll say this. It was sheerly just price enforcing where I said, even though I don't love the situation, I don't love what's coming out of there. A lot of the theoretical things felt off. Sometimes you got to price enforce. Sometimes you got to take the value of the player, especially ones that are established, that you know who they are. It's one thing not to like a player at the ADP. It's another thing to write them off completely if they fall in drafts. If they fall too far, price enforcing is a very important thing. And especially with players that are veterans or players that you know they have a baseline of success in the NFL, even if it's not the leading rusher of the league, sometimes they might become that leading rusher of the league. These things do happen. That's a great one. I love that one. Pat, what do you have for us in 2023? New Year's fantasy resolution time.
Oh, invest in talented rookies, Joe. And you alluded to this at the top of the show. And you might be asking yourself, how do I know if a rookie is talented? I'm not a scout. I don't watch college football. Well, let Draft Capital be your guide. Top 40 draft pick. Love that. Talented. And we have seen in recent years receivers drafted in the top 40 who dramatically outkick their ADPs in fantasy, these rookies. In 2020, it was Justin Jefferson, who was the wide receiver 49, CeeDee Lamb, who was the wide receiver 38. In 2021, it was Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver 27, Jaylen Waddle, the wide receiver 46 with the 1,000-yard season as a rookie. And then this year, Garrett Wilson, wide receiver 49, Chris Olave, wide receiver 44, Debro's guy, Christian Watson, wide receiver 67. So the downside is maybe it's a guy like Drake London who was going wide receiver 41 and wasn't really usable for you much of the season. But like at wide receiver 41, it's not a disaster if he doesn't hit. And this isn't limited to wide receiver. Kenneth Walker, I mean, people were worried about him. And granted, there was a lot going on in Seattle. He had a hernia like back in August and missed the first game. He was playing behind Rashad Penny. They had Geno Smith at quarterback, which we all thought was going to be a disaster. But man, like Kenneth Walker was free in drafts. And like we knew Rashad Penny wasn't going to stay healthy all season. Just draft the talented running back and wait for it to work out. And eventually it did. And, you know, people had Kenneth Walker in the playoffs and like he was such a valuable piece down the stretch and over the second half of the season. So invest in these talented rookies. Like it's, there's no more of a stigma like there was for us in the 90s.
No, nope, no more 90s stigma. That's
draft,
all gone.
Draft those rookie receivers, man.
To your point, Pat, Breece carried teams throughout the middle of the season before he went
sure
out.
Did.
Like
100%
he hit. Did. And when he hit, he was a top 3 to 5 running back weekly. So I know it's a little more in the rear view because he got hurt and we haven't seen him for multiple weeks, but we still got to bring his name up because another 100%. Rookie that just hit the ground running and carry your teams. Like if he would have stayed healthy, he would have been a top 5 running back.
One last point about this. And part of the reason is we draft for week one. Like everyone is guilty of this. We draft for week one and it's hard to assess the value of these rookies because they have no track record. In a lot of cases, we don't know quite what their roles are going to be. Like we draft for week one and we don't see the bigger picture. So we overlook these guys sometimes.
It's a great point. It's an absolutely great point. Especially we talk about all those guys who were really good in week one that we did draft and then didn't do much else after that. But Breece Hall is another good one too. Hopefully he bounces back from that that knee surgery too. That's another one too. You know, we always live in this world like, oh, it's torn ACL. Everything will be fine. This kind of shook me a little bit with the Ravens guys this year. Like that was not the case for either of them. It took a long time, if ever, that Dobbins and Gus Edwards and those guys kind of came back. Let's not necessarily think that Javonte Williams and then Breece Hall all come back and everything is just hunky-dory next year too. We got to be real careful about overrating those guys potentially and when they're returning. That they'll be fine week one. We'll see. We'll see. All right. For me, my New Year's resolution, even more early quarterback and early wide receiver. That's right. You know me. I'll take Ja'Marr Chase number two after Justin Jefferson. After that, heck, you know, I was saying I would take Davante Adams in some spots in the top five. I didn't care. I still was looking at all these big-time wide receivers, and I just think that's where the game is. And to that point, too, if you have these high-floor, high-ceiling quarterbacks, whether they be Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Justin Fields is in that mix next year, it's a good chance Trevor Lawrence is going to be in that conversation too, boys and girls. If indeed that happens, those people are carrying you every single week with a very high floor points. And I know you can get quarterback late, but I'm telling you, when you have those elite quarterbacks, your team just produces differently on a weekly basis. It's something you can really drive home and you can really have. And I'll tell you what, you look at some of those teams that just took the late quarterbacks this year, some of them struggled. I'll just take Aaron Rodgers. I'll just take Tom Brady. I'll just take, you know, Derek Carr. I'll just take Russell Wilson, who finishes QB 17. Not great. And Superflex, oof, yikes. Superflex was a hot mess at the second quarterback spot for almost everybody all year round. We broke a record this year for most quarterbacks starting in a single year, and it wasn't even a strike. It was unbelievable. They shattered the record, okay? Quarterback play is not just set it and forget it anymore, and it shouldn't be in your fantasy leagues either. That'll put a button on 2022. We're going to leave it in the past. We're going to look forward to 2023, and I'm excited for 2023, especially with the crew that I've got here with me at Fantasy Pros, because we got the best crew, and all of you out there, our listeners and watchers on the YouTube channel as well, are part of that crew. So, Happy New Year, everybody. Enjoy 2023. let's start winning off right. And don't forget about that Dynasty podcast too. Like Pat's saying, learn all these rookies now, be ahead of the curve. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including DFS Mafia. Sign up today at player.dfs-mafia.com and use that promo code PROS for $10 in free gameplay on us. And stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/fantasypros. That's rocketmoney.com/fantasypros. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Pat Fitzmaurice and Derek Brown, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. Pick up, pick up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.